What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Mostly believes in aliens.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with some heroes, Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and girl?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, hey.
Welcome, Colleen.
I am the girl.
You are
on the pod today.
Okay, a lady. Let's treat you with respect. You deserve it.
I mean, I don't even know if that's better.
No, that's not.
Is lady worse than girl?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you want woman, but with a Y instead of
like? Why
a?
Can't you just say, "Hey, guys"?
Yeah, it's nice to have
like,
you.
Do
back.
You like walk in the newsroom and say, "Hello, female"?
I'm like, "Hey, boys."
Hey, girl.
Colleen sitting. I'm not going to change my intro.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You know this is.
You do you, Dan.
You do me.
I like it coming after him. Some host heat right here. It's nice to have you back. It's been a while, Colleen.
It has been.
You ever heard of like when someone loses their arm or leg?
Phantom.
Like it's amputated, mm-hmm. but they still feel it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm always here.
That's what it's felt like with you gone the last few weeks.
Jeez.
She haunts
the studio?
I don't know.
So she's the phantom leg of the Around the NFL Podcast, Colleen.
Good to have you reattached.
Great.
Add that to your
happy
Twitter
to be
profile.
That.
Colleen sitting in the Mark Sessler chair. Mark on vacation. He'll be back next week. The last two shows, that chair has been occupied by Connor Orr. Controversially, do you have any thoughts on Connor's appearances?
Oh my God! I loved the movies.
They're
was polarizing. Hilarious, and the guitar was so good.
Mm.
I need to meet that guy.
Patrick Kagongo just shredded on Wednesday's show. Make sure you check it out. If you
a lot of people
yet.
Saying that should be a regular part of the show, which I would fully support. I think we can work ways to have Patrick's music in here, not just for
Patrick is so good.
Literally around the corner. I was thinking anytime there's any type of like special circumstances or some type of party on the podcast, you
yeah.
get the axe in here.
Yes.
You get the amp and away we go.
Birthdays, whatever.
I like this idea of having more parties on the podcast.
if we ever do is this a Creed song or not, he could play the Creed song.
I don't think he can play that poorly.
I'm still, by the way, the development right before we went on the air that Greg has a tattoo.
Oh.
I'm rocked by this. What an acknowledgement by the boss.
I feel like this should have come up at some
well,
point.
Well, we
yeah.
knew Mark has a tattoo. We didn't
Wait, know. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Another surprise tattoo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mark, I don't remember what it is, but it's on his arm, like near, like high up on his arm, like near his bicep. And Greg, you have what?
Mine's kind of on my upper back.
What is
the
it?
The shoulder blade.
Do you want to
I'll
share?
I'll keep that to myself for now. I'll give a hint. It's somewhat regionally specific. It has some regional.
It's a strawberry, isn't it?
It's a strawberry no. truck.
Strawberry!
Oh, yeah.
You gotta show us. It's strawberry truck?
That's actually a terrible clue now that I think of it. It's not even right.
It's
but it's not a strawberry
truck. The state of Delaware?
No state. It's nothing like
Is it
that.
A map of
it's
Martha's
Robert
Vineyard?
Kraft's face.
It's got to be something to do with New Orleans.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Greg's sort adopted of. Hometown. That's right.
A little bit.
It's a fan boat.
Okay, today's episode of Around the NFL, the Around the NFL podcast, sponsored by no one. Big, fun episode today. We're going to crack open the mailbag at the end of the show. We haven't done that in a while. We'll see what the listeners want to know, and we'll try to help them out. You know what I'm saying? Woman. Wolf?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think.
I don't know.
Where are you going with
I don't
this
know.
One? Yeah, we're trying to help you guys out. Okay.
Also, Greg wrote a banger on the site, biggest weak spots in the AFC. Last week, you rolled out the NFC edition of this, correct?
Monday, yeah.
Oh, Monday. And now the AFC. And just really good stuff.
Why is good. Wes... I read it on my way back from Philly on the plane.
Thank you. Why is Wes cracking up so much?
Greg wrote a banger. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Really good stuff. Greg, once again, showcasing his knowledge of the game and all the rosters of the 32
teams. Don't you feel like he's been showing off a little bit lately?
Very masculine of late as well. It's been
yeah.
big week for Greg.
He pushed me around in the NFL Now studio today.
Yeah,
wow.
I likened it to how Harry Houdini was killed by a punch that he wasn't prepared for. Wes knocked off his feet by a Greg Rosenthal shove.
I did push.
Wait, this happened downstairs?
He fell onto the chair. Well, that's the good thing about being, you know, my size is that no one can get mad at you for coming after them because it's just embarrassing.
I laughed pretty hard.
You're jumping up the masculinity rankings.
Just soaring. The tattoo.
Yeah.
Shove.
Someone calling him the strong silent type.
That was a
whoa.
Big,
yeah.
Tara Deaker.
He was in a band.
Famously.
I mean, this is all working for you. Yeah.
It's all coming up, Rosenthal.
And what a week.
yeah, so we'll talk about that post. And then, of course, as we do every show, we're going to do a little bit of news. And before we get to that, we want to check in behind the glass. The Irishman, how you doing, bud?
It's Thursday, Dan. I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Big softball game
yeah.
tonight.
Yep.
The Shield.
I'm not going to be there.
Yes. You're
neither will
doing,
the other team.
You're going to be doing HQ, the NFL Network morning show tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to, like, go to bed at, like, 3 o'clock.
What a ridiculous setup for a
program. What's your call time? What's your call time for that?
I usually get in around, like, 1-ish.
1 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Whose idea was this?
You're doing an East Coast time on the West Coast.
That's when we'll wrap up our post-game activities.
I know. I'm really bummed out about this.
What I'm saying is you could pull an all-nighter.
I mean, I could.
Go full Wes. Go
maybe
full
I
Wes.
Will.
Welcome to Colleen's last appearance. On
last day at NFL Media.
Let's do some news, Irish.
So I was very little, about 1 and a half. My uncle gave me a spoon. Spelled it S-P-O-O-N. And that's it. That's how it started.
If my house was haunted, I would hear that child. Like,
I have to
always.
Say this. He needs to get some love. That's Akash. He's 6 years old. And is in the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Nothing more annoying than a precocious child.
Oh
Wes.
How wow. dare you.
You know what, Wes?
What?
Somebody that's
their
active
parents
in the
think they're
pool.
So exceptionally cute. Give me a break.
He is pretty adorable, Wes. I have to say. Vox.
Put him on a sitcom and ruin the show.
That's amazing that they can spell these words. I'm a terrible speller.
I bet he doesn't tell funny jokes.
Wait, what is this that you're taking shots about, like,
you don't like
they add kids to sitcoms?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's usually a Hail Mary pass when they do that.
And then the adults act like they're so precious because
but that's not...
they know a little bit more than other six-year-olds.
Tell us more about your feelings about kids.
I love kids. I just don't like adults acting like precocious kids or, like, the greatest things ever. Those kids need to be knocked down a peg.
Dan's face right now.
I don't know. I'm just letting him go. He's got an opinion. Everybody shares their opinions on the show. Let's start the news, and we'll start with the Baltimore Ravens, who, you know what? As Greg put it in our piece, their offseason practice schedule just got shorter.
Ooh.
And you know why? The NFL and the Ravens jointly announced Thursday that the team will forfeit 1 week of OTA sessions from June 1st to 3rd. And both the organization and coach, John Harbaugh, will be fined for violating the CBA for a violation. that's your text body, Greg.
Got no, it's double not. Violation. It's fine. I'm looking at it. Have been fined for violating off-season workout rules under the collective bargaining agreement. Don't
for
play
a violate. Just violating.
It's a lot in
sense.
General. They're in trouble.
Maybe John Harbaugh have been fired for violating the CBA for a violation of off-season work rules. We got to get the edit team on that.
Ooh.
Anyway, the team is allowed
to edit out that whole part of the show. That's what we got to edit.
Actually, let's do that. This is
keep it in.
Keep it in.
It's funny.
Keep it in.
This is disastrous for them, right? This is going to be a major
issue.
For
the editor's desk or for the Ravens?
For the Ravens.
No, why is it? It's not a disaster.
No,
the team is allowed 10 OTA sessions in the offseason. The Ravens
disastrous.
Will be without three of them. Everybody calm down. Let's be professional here. The Ravens will be without three of them, but will still have all their mandatory minicamp and training camp. The Ravens, in a statement, said, "We made a mistake, and we are sorry for that. We accept the NFL discipline." Are you worried about this?
I'm shaking my head at them right now. I can't believe how dare they would do that. No.
This means next to nothing.
I agree.
Not to the coaching staff. They're probably really upset.
And yet I find it interesting because when this first came up, Ian Rappaport said the Ravens sources told him we didn't know we were violating the CBA, and once we realized it, we fixed it. Ian reported that the league did not believe the Ravens, that they knew exactly what they were doing, And there's some good proof out there. John Harbaugh has publicly gone against the OTA rules again and again, saying that it's stupid, that it's restrictive. I found a quote that said he believed the OTA rules are un-American. And so they tried to break the rules. They've lost OTA times before in 2010. The only difference this year, apparently, is that they have Ben Watson on the team, who's high up in the union. And ESPN reported Ben Watson was the one that reported them. And so there you go.
You should have had all this in your copy. That's interesting.
It is. It's all in there.
I like that John Harbaugh goes full talk show host on us. Un-American.
No, I Googled. Oh, wow. I Googled the Ravens OTA stuff, and I was like, wow, there's a lot here. He just every year he rails against them. So they tried to break the rules.
I mean, doesn't every team popped. In some way try to break the rules so they can get some type of like advantage?
Yeah, welcome to the New England Patriots.
It's a super
minor. Yourteamcheats.com.
I mean, the crazy thing is it's so minor that they wore pads for one thing. It was just more that they were sticking it in the eye of the NFL, so I don't think they liked it.
All right, let's move on because it really doesn't matter. Lions running back Amir Abdullah is recovering from shoulder surgery, which could keep him out all of the offseason workouts. Jim Caldwell, the Lions coach, said that Abdullah is recovering nicely but gave no timeline for the running back's return. He's an interesting guy, Chris Wessling. He led the team with about 600 yards rushing last season, but had some issues with ball security. 4.2 yards a carry, which isn't bad, but for a guy that looked like a potential explosive breakout guy, it was a disappointing first year. And there's not a lot on the depth chart there. Steven Ridley looked very slow with the Jets last year. Theo Riddick, let's not get too excited. Zach Zenner, I know Sessler loves him some Zach Zenner, but they need Amir Abdullah to step up and be a better player this year, right?
Explosive as in a really explosive burst and first step through the hole, and he has a lot of jukes, but not explosive in a power kind of way, and that kind of worries me. From the history of running backs with shoulder injuries, I've just noticed over the years, they don't run with authority when they're coming off of shoulder injuries. We've seen it with Ryan Matthews, Mark Ingram, and then we see the next year after the shoulder injury, they look like a totally different back. This would concern me.
Well, it's a bad backfield on paper, and Abdullah was going to be the clear lead guy. When I went back and did that piece, looking back at one of the rookies, at all the rookie carries, he was among the most disappointing because I had such high expectations on what happened. And I don't know if it was just the season wore on him, but he didn't look as explosive as I expected. He looked like an okay between the tackles runner, actually, but he didn't have as much juice as he seemed to in the preseason and early in the year.
But didn't he get a little bit better at the end of last season?
He made some plays, but he wasn't consistent. I didn't see it and think, well, wow, this guy has it. Like Matt Jones, for instance, I saw some things. I think he can be special. Abdullah didn't quite show it.
I would add one caveat. I thought the Lions had the worst run blocking in the NFL last year.
It's fair.
And the stats back that up. They had a league worst 83.4 yards per game rushing in 2015. So they got to get a lot better. And losing Megatron, that was always you would think that would have helped their running game having him there. Now he won't be there, obviously. So we'll see what happens in Detroit. Moving on, this was something that did concern me with the New York Jets, this Ryan Fitzpatrick drama that is now carried into the beginning of their offseason practices. OTAs were open to the media in New York on Wednesday, and sure enough, a major topic of discussion was where's Ryan? And Geno Smith, by the way, we talk about Geno a lot, Greg. I know we joke around about how much you like him, and you know. But the bottom line is right now he is the number one guy on their depth chart. However, now that things have started, the season has started, or the offseason practices have started, you realize what a terrible situation this guy is in, because he is the number one guy in the depth chart, way more advanced, and all the reporters saw it yesterday, than the two kids, Petty and Hackenberg. And yet, all anybody wants to talk about is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the team has already went out and said, as soon as Ryan Fitzpatrick rejoins us, when and if, he's our starter. So where does that leave Geno Smith? And he actually snapped at a reporter who asked about Ryan Fitzpatrick's contract situation. He said, that's up to the front office and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why would I speak on that? And then Rich Shamedia of ESPN reported that he refused to take another question from that reporter. Meanwhile, a report from the New York Post, Brian Costello, that Eric Decker, who was among three prominent Jets players, along with Brandon Marshall and Nick Mangold, that did not show up for OTAs this week, at least Decker is not showing up out of solidarity for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Get this guy back in the building because it's a huge distraction. Add it all up.
Yeah!
and I'm concerned. This is a team kind of, this is a tough schedule. They got a tough schedule. Now they got this. I know it's May. I'm not going to put too much into it.
Still crashing.
But I do not like it. I do not like the way things are starting. It's just bad juju.
You have to like the solidarity.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, why would you like that?
Because OTAs are meaningless for veterans like Decker.
Plus, it's voluntary.
Doesn't matter
right
if
now.
Right. It doesn't matter if he's there, but to me, that's a cool thing to be standing by your quarterback.
I agree, but I don't know if it's totally meaningless. I mean, you want in a perfect world, you'd like Fitzpatrick to be there. You're right. I'm not worried that Decker's not there with Geno Smith this week in particular, but you would like your quarterback to be there. It puts Geno Smith in this situation. If he ends up going through this entire offseason and Fitzpatrick doesn't take a single snap in OTAs or minicamp, it's a weird thing. It's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick is Joe Montana coming back and just has all this talent and experience in the system to lean on. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had
more like Joe Idaho.
It's probably not great that Geno Smith then was throwing to guys like Kembrell Tompkins and Jeremy Ross. And
those guys are still in the league.
I mean, it's fine. He's getting reps. And actually, the if you want to look at a positive as a Jets fan, not having Fitzpatrick there for these type of practices lets the younger guys get a ton of work, and they need a lot of work. But I don't know. It just you don't like – it's always something with the Jets quarterback position, and I wish this would have been taken care of, because if this carries through minicamp, then it snowballs a little bit more, and then the pressure really comes on. I guess this gives Fitzpatrick a tiny bit of leverage, but I don't think enough to make the Jets blink. So,
is there any part of this that maybe it like doesn't have anything to do with Fitzy? Like, I think it does completely, but they already took part in some of the other team activities, and this is voluntary, and they're vets, and maybe they're just not showing up.
It's possible.
Well, Mangold had a kid, and Marshall
right, on Tuesday
is not related. So there, or it's been reported that it is not related. But Decker apparently is, at least according to Brian Costello.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about, you know what? I think it's time. It's that time of year, guys.
What time is it?
It is a trope alert.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
DeMarco Murray looks like 2014 Murray in Titans practice. Yowzer. This according to...
That alarm is still going off, huh? Wow.
According to a lot of people.
According to a lot of people.
Mike Malarkey.
Mike Malarkey.
Was one.
Full of malarkey, let's be honest. Sorry, Wes. I certainly like some of the cuts I saw, even without pads on. Those were cuts. He wasn't going to get touchdown. It was going to be an explosive run. You can tell when a play is going to work and not work. He's got very good vision, very good feet, and a lot of these things we're doing, he's run before, so it's not new to him. Marcus Mariota also had praise for the 28-year-old back coming off a terrible season in Philly after being the offensive player of the year in Dallas the year before.
Nothing a power running back does in padless practices means anything. Until people are hitting, then I might start believing it, but we need to see how he looks in training.
This was an OTA ultimate like sign that OTAs have started. Two quotes came out about his cuts within 5 minutes of each other. It was like OTA season's here.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Thunder and thunder.
Trope alert.
The Cowboys used the fourth overall pick on Ezekiel Elliott, but don't expect the young kid, the young buck, to get a starting job right away. Running back Gary Brown, running back coach Gary Brown had this to say. He's going to compete, he told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Zeke has to earn it. I think that's the best thing for our team and for those guys going forward. Colleen. If this guy isn't the starting quarterback on day one, head should be rolling.
Well, I hope he's not the starting quarterback. But like,
running back, excuse me.
I mean, even Ezekiel Elliott looked at this and laughed. There's no – this is so ridiculous. Are you kidding
what?
Me?
What? You have to earn your position it? In the NFL.
Shout out to Kevin Patra, who started this post with a italicized parentheses. Dear reader, please brace yourself for some wicked spin in classic coach speak. Thank you. Mm. Kevin just – going wild with the writing.
Oh, hold on. Before we move on.
Yes.
Darren McFadden averaged more yards per carry last year than DeMarco Murray did in 2014 while winning Offensive Player of the Year.
Ooh.
He also had the second most 100-yard rushing games in the league.
It's a bad year for running backs. But
Ezekiel Elliott does have to earn it, and he came out right after the draft and said that.
And he also said that that practice that the
what if Darren McFadden beats out?
He's not going to happen though. Like, even if McFadden outplays Elliott in training camp, Elliott's going to get the nod because they need to justify using a fourth overall pick on a running back.
Yeah, all 16 games to justify.
While we're talking choke alerts, though, I love the headline in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Shell-shocked Ezekiel Elliott having to earn starting running back.
Why is he shell-shocked?
I guess he said the speed of the practice really surprised him, so he was shell-shocked.
Uh-oh. Trope alert. I keep coming, guys.
Trope alert. Trope alert.
You all sound sexy.
Trope alert.
Terrell Pryor. Now a wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. He's like the best receiver on the Browns besides Corey Coleman. He would like to tell you that despite being new to the position, I'm 10 times better than last year. I look at the film and it amazes me. And I give that to receivers coach Al Saunders because just sitting there and doing the extra meeting time with him and him really breaking down certain routes to me and how he wants them to run, it's awesome. So the guy that looks at the old tape and says, that guy was a piece of garbage, I'm the king now.
Well, I hope he's better than last year. This is a guy who was, I guess, moving from quarterback to wide receiver. He's got to be better from what we saw.
A lot of trope alerts here. Position change. You know, talk about that. That's a trope mm-hmm. alert. Terrell Pryor is a trope alert on his own.
Just in general.
Terrell Pryor has officially passed Jeff Demps as the highest post-to-production ratio in NFL.com history.
It's a big moment for him.
He gets one every day.
Can you name a player who had successfully made an impact after having a major position switch?
Oh, I'm sure there's some.
Joe Klecko.
Like a
made a Pro Bowl three different positions.
They were all defensive line.
Yeah.
No, I mean a substantially different position.
Hey, listen. Say no more. Oh, no. Another
Trope
one?
Alert.
Wow, there's so many.
Trope alert. Trope alert.
Saints safety, Jairus Byrd.
Jairus Byrd.
Or Jairus.
Jairus Byrd.
Is injured.
No.
In the offseason.
No.
Shouldn't we just, it's news when
it.
He's healthy?
That's the trope. Every offseason, they just roll out the same old Jairus Byrd is injured story. Let's come up with some new stuff, Saints guys.
He is sitting out the offseason program because of his knee. There's some soreness in there, but he's expected to be ready for the start of training camp. Watch out.
He'll be back. He'll be ready. He'll be healthy.
All right. And that's what's happening in the news and the tropes.
So now it's time for...
What?
Odds and ends, odds and ends. Let's get some odds and ends. Get your odds and ends right here.
Ooh.
Wow. Well,
what a rendition.
How about that?
Are we going to close the segment that way? I need to record that.
When you guys did that with Lindsay,
Colleen's dancing was amazing.
Yeah, there was dancing that went along with it, of course.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard the last time you guys did it. So glad we're bringing it back. All right, so I have a couple odds and ends.
Okay.
Here.
Lindsay's going to anchor this seg.
No.
Well,
Colleen will.
Should we bring her up?
Whoa.
We get her
wow.
up.
Wow.
Your fault for referencing her. All right.
It's been a tough
I'm
day
a girl
for...
that's sort of blonde.
Right, yeah. It's a tough day for Dan and women.
Okay.
Struggle through it.
Oh, here we go. First up, Kirk Cousins. It's back now. The whole Creed thing that I guess this was last week when he talked about how they were working out and listening to Creed, which was cool. And
which
like,
some teammates were refuting, correct?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there was only like a couple people in the gym working out at that time. I have no idea.
Creedgate.
But he opened up about his musical interests and talked about some of the other artists that are on his playlist.
This doesn't sound good.
Yeah. So in addition to Creed, he also listens to Switchfoot.
What?
This is his go-to playlist.
I believe
that's a Nickelback cover band, Switchfoot.
I think they were like a Christian
rock band. It's a Christian rock band. Yeah. So I think one of their songs is Love Alone is Worth the Fight.
I remember they had a song called Meant to Live in the early aughts. That was pretty big.
Okay. Then Matt Carney. I don't know who Matt Carney is.
Don't know Car Bomb.
And The Fray.
Oh, we know Fray.
Oh, yeah.
This is the song he listens to when he's lifting.
Yes.
This is what pumps him up.
I don't really. And Parachute. Like, so this is like, I mean, most people listen to like something like upbeat. This is like a breakup song. I mean, I feel like these were the songs that, I didn't even like listening to in 2005, but if they were like on the radio and I was like really pissed off and angry, it's like driving around and maybe Switchfoot would be on, but probably not. I would
angry
like
at yourself.
It. Yeah, so
wow,
that's super weird.
You pumped up, huh?
Never defending this guy again.
I look at
the worst
him
taste in
different.
Music possible.
Anything else, Colleen?
Okay, yes.
Odds and ends.
Also, we had all right. So this estate, this real estate blog called Estately.
Yes. Well, oh, deep dive here. By
I know
Wolfie.
Estately.
Wait. Okay. See. Look at that.
I love it.
Stop it, Dan. So they gathered a bunch of data from Google to find out what the most Googled questions were from each state. And actually, Will Brinson did a great little write-up on this.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. So for Mississippi, for example, it was who is Prince? Is Prince dead? Who killed Tupac? in Kentucky, what are jorts? How to pass a drug test, what is catfishing, and how to make a baby.
Poor Kentucky.
But Maryland.
How to pass a drug test has to be what in multiple
states.
What's
the jorts one? That's weird.
What are jorts?
Everybody
I feel
knows
like that's
everybody
standard.
In Kentucky knows what a jort
shorts.
Is. Come on.
So in Maryland, the most popular Googled question is Joe Flacco elite?
That's kind of awesome.
Which, let's see, I'm going to Google it right now. And, well, I mean, that's, I think the jury's still out on that one.
The question is, it's been a joke around Joe Flacco's career for years now. But, like, everyone kind of glosses over the fact that it's actually, like, a really good question.
It's so bad that, like, one of the third results that comes up is, like, a Donald Trump answers the question as Joe Flacco.
Oh, he did.
Elite.
Trump got behind.
Wow. Flack. Yeah. And then also I saw that J.J. Watt is hosting the CMT Awards with Aaron Andrews. That
makes so much sense.
I can't take it anymore. All right. Enough, J.J. Watt.
I feel like I have to get off the J.J. Watt corner because he might kill me at this point.
That's true.
Because I've been very vocal about my issues with him as a personality. But that makes perfect sense that he would be wanting to get involved with that show as a host.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never watched it.
I was going
to
say, like, we can all continue not watching the Country Music Awards.
Missing out on some good Chris Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson.
Not going to have a big impact.
Who?
Yes.
Sturgill Simpson, Chris Stapleton?
I've heard of Stapleton.
I know you're a Stapo fan.
Yes.
It's like the devil
Sturgill
goes
Simpleton?
Down to Georgia.
Sturgill Simpson like is even better than Chris Stapleton.
Really?
Yes,
is he better than the Fray?
Well, I mean.
We're showing ourselves to be West Coast elites here, not knowing country music.
Wasn't this
I don't
Grey's Anatomy or something?
That rings a bell, yeah. I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
All right, well, that's it. That's it, right?
And that was odds and ends, yeah. Get your odds and ends right here. We have them. Odds and ends.
Very good. Great. I love it.
That was our third take, by the way, everybody, of that.
No one will ever know.
Oh, except for anyone that follows me on Twitter.
Oh.
Check it
out.
Oh,
no.
What's it worth to you, Colleen?
I was reading an article. You know, that's how you got to get the social media accounts, got to give extra content that you can't just get on the show. Oh. By the way, Wes, not to go back to another show, but it was really bothering me, the position change question that he posed.
Oh, okay.
I knew there had to be an answer, and I Googled it. I cheated. But there was a couple real ones. A lot of them were safety quarterback. That
how long
count.
Ago?
Julian Edelman is a great one.
College? No, that doesn't count.
Why not?
After they got to the NFL.
He was a college quarterback,
no.
Terrell Pryor.
Does not count. This is totally about once you've established yourself at a position in the NFL. You could
say Ryan Tannehill as well if you
Denard
want.
Denard Robinson.
Yeah, but he was a quarterback in college.
No, because this was a big thing when Tebow kind of flamed out. Everybody wanted him to move to tight end, and my point was you don't just at age 25 after never having played the position in the NFL, no matter how athletic you are, become a successful other position.
The next best example, a lot of these were cornerback to safety, which I don't count.
That doesn't count.
Frank Gifford, running back to West.
Yeah, I'm talking like in the last 50 years.
But you're right. There weren't many good ones.
All right.
That's all. I wanted to
know. It was good. It was good scientist heat. I liked it. All right. Let's now move on. We'll talk about that Rosenthal banger. Biggest weak spot for each AFC team. Why don't we go around the horn here, and Greg went through every team. Does this have a vanity URL?
Does not.
Bummer.
Ouch.
I can work on that. In fact, I believe I did a now hit where I sent it to a vanity URL that I would later create, and I forgot to create it.
NFL.com.
That's a problem.
/
NFC AFC problems. That
all teams have strengths. All teams have weaknesses. In this article, we will discuss the weaknesses of these teams and how they might hurt them down the road.
Simple. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
All right. So let's do it. Let's go through the AFC. Colleen, do you want to get us going here? You could either, you know, piggyback on something Greg says. You can disagree with something Greg says or say something totally different.
All right. Well, let's go with the Colts here. And I actually liked Greg's point because he said the entire defense is a weak spot. But I think we should maybe focus in on the front seven, because that to me was like one of their huge weaknesses. I think both the defensive line and the offensive line were huge concerns going into the draft, and they didn't address the defensive line until late in the draft, maybe the seventh round. And you look at their edge rushers, these guys are getting so old. Robert Mathis, I mean, he's 35. He's the only pure pass rusher. And then you have Trent Cole. Also,
not a good year.
I mean, Kendall Langford, he has some good years still remaining, but I think his best year was probably his first with them. And Arthur Jones, you're still waiting for him to get healthy. He's played 9 games in 2 seasons. So this is definitely a concern, I think, in my book.
Soft and slow is not a good combination for a front seven.
They've been there for 4 years, right? Gregson and Pagano, and the roster and the rank of their defense in terms of points allowed has not gotten any better. It's been one of the worst in the league. I would say the roster is probably worse than it
ever
was.
They've poured resources into it, too.
And when Caldwell was there, they were bad on defense, too, that second year. And it hasn't improved whatsoever. And it's ugly. I think it's the worst AFC roster defensively. I don't think there is a worse one.
I don't disagree.
I was just thinking of Colleen's odds and ends song that got cut from the show.
No, please, I can't stop. I'm so terrible. It was a conversation that happened in the makeup room, and now I'm really flustered by it.
And I assume it's something we can't talk about on the show.
Well, it had to do with childbirth.
Twitter.com.
Totally different.
I would prefer we not talk about it. So
you like working here, you're saying?
Yeah, that is correct.
Twitter.com/Greg Rosenthal. Find the footage.
Oh, no.
All right, Wes, why don't you have a shot?
Well, Greg has his own team, the Throne of East Patriots. I don't know where he got this, that the defensive line is an issue. They have pot roast Knighton. Alan Branch played really well last year, and Malcolm Brown, their first-round pick. They're set at defensive tackle. The problem is they don't have their quarterback for 4 games. That's the big concern.
That's fair. But they get him back, and he's one of the best players in the league. When you get him back, you still get him back for 12 games. It's not like coming off an injury. I'd always take – I mean, not that you have the choice, but I always take
– Oh, they're still going to –
suspension than an injury.
They're still going to go 12-4. It's just a matter if they're going to go 12-0 once Brady gets there.
They always start slow, though, don't they? I mean, the last couple seasons, they've started pretty slow.
It's all relative because we always think that, but then they literally have gone 12-4 every year that Tom Brady's been healthy. So, but they've had – obviously, everybody remembers the Kansas City loss in their last Super Bowl year. Things were pretty – where were they at that point after that loss?
2-2.
Week 4, week 5. Mm-hmm. That's about as bad as it gets. And that's all they really need to do with Garofalo behind Janine Garofalo behind center. Could be bad.
Traveling.
Jimmy Garoppolo, excuse me. I forgot about him because he kind of fell off the radar. But now everybody could just dig up all their think pieces on Garoppolo now that they got deep sixth when Brady's suspension was thrown out. Just bring him back up. Nobody will know.
I'm so sick about reading of all the appeals and everything. My eyes just start glazing over as soon as I see Embank.
Running back's a problem.
Embank.
I don't even know. Whatever.
On bench.
Not sure about Deion Lewis coming off a torn ACL and LeGarrette Blunt, too. That's not a great combo you got.
Still much better than what they had in the playoffs.
Yes.
I haven't even heard anything tropey about Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis looks like nothing ever happened to him, which is an awesome
That's been
sign.
Out there that he's been,
oh,
doing,
has it been, trope?
Been yeah. doing well, yeah.
Would you call it a trope alert?
They've underplayed. It hasn't been screaming headlines, so I'll give them credit.
Okay. I got one here. Patriots running back Deion Lewis could play if the season started next month.
Oh, that's a trope.
I love that trope.
That is one.
Player X could play if the season started tomorrow. All right, I will throw out, let's go back to the AFC South, the Houston Texans. Greg, you made a good point here. Everybody assumes, that defensive line, they have no concerns because you have J.J. Watt there, the best defensive player in the world. But, Greg, you point out, you can't start at two positions at once. Jared Krieg not there anymore. They don't have a lot of depth there otherwise, so you got to find somebody to pair him with. And I'll also say Jadeveon Clowney is someone to keep an eye on there, because the trope, I think the trope machine's been buzzing with him a little bit too, but we have really no evidence that he's going to be able to really put it together. And they kind of need that other guy to kind of really make that defense come together. So that defense is a work in progress.
I go quarterback again here. Hmm. What has Brock Osweiler shown us to think that he's going to be the answer?
That's fair. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. When I'm looking at this, I'm thinking they're going to have a guy starting on their defensive line who on paper doesn't have a lot of promise or experience, whether it's Devin Still, Christian Covington, Brandon Dunn. I mean, it's not a good group when you're worried about losing Jared Crick.
And to your quarterback point, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins made multiple quarterbacks look okay last year. So that helps. I don't think that like really does anything crazy good for him, but it definitely helps him maybe like come along.
I think Osweiler can be at least at a Hoyer replacement level starting quarterback.
You better.
I think that's the minimum. Yeah. So I don't think it's that huge a weakness.
What happens when you run into a mediocre Chiefs team in the playoffs?
You lose 30-0.
You're right.
Keep an eye out for Lamar Miller, Greg. That might be a sandwich prop I lay out there a little.
Nobody loves Lamar Miller like Dan Hansis loves Lamar.
You know he's going to eat. Lamar's going to eat, and you're going to eat the words.
You know who else does? The scientists were having some fantasy talk like old times.
Hubba hubba.
And Wes noticed how high Lamar Miller is getting drafted by fantasy.
Ooh, really?
Way too high.
Wait, how high?
Something
like early second round. Like,
really?
Nice pick.
Yeah, first
nice
couple of picks in the second round.
Take about 10, 12 receivers before you take Lamar.
No coach has ever trusted him in short yardage or goal line. No coach has trusted him to stay healthy. And
yeah, he's always had bad coaches.
Well, and it's hard to put a defense, an offense together, all these new pieces, and that you're just going to be good right away. That takes time. Doesn't work like that.
Greg, do you want to expound upon anything that you wrote in this piece?
I'm going to go with the Ravens and – let's go with the cornerback situation. Although everyone's talking about the Ravens as a team that are definitely going to bounce back. Everything looks good. People get healthy. I think that's all true on offense. They've got some holes on defense. I mean, they move Ladarius Webb to safety. Their number one cornerback is Jimmy Smith, who's a great player. He's had two surgeries this offseason. He hasn't been healthy for a while.
Wasn't a great player last year either.
Right, exactly. Because of the surgeries. He had two more, and he might not be ready for the season. Their next cornerbacks are mid-round rookie picks, Kyle Arrington, who they want off the team. It's one of the worst cornerback groups, I would say, in the league.
A lot of question marks.
Defensive end is a weird spot for them. You know, they have Lawrence Guy, a couple guys they drafted. Arthur Brown, you remember him? Second-round pick who's kind of been a bust.
They'll do anything to not play him.
But he right now, him or who was it? Connor Orr's brother, Zach Orr, could be starting an inside linebacker.
A
lot of question marks.
And you got to face Ben Roethlisberger and that offense twice, plus Andy Dalton.
And your edge rushers are getting really old.
Right. It's a defense. I'm not in love with the defense. I could see the offense getting a lot better.
I don't blame you.
All right. You could check out all of Greg's commentary on NFL.com/Rosenthal. There's an easy way to get to it as well.
That's true.
Great.
Thanks, buddy.
Good talk. Big week for Greg. Doing good boss work.
There's a lot of love on that side of the table. Did you get your review or something? What's happening?
Listen, I'm just saying Greg's doing a nice job.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Right?
Right church, wrong pew, or whatever that phrase is. You're on to something here.
All right, let's move on. Before we get out of here, we want to hit the mailbag and go through some questions that the audience has. Of course, I had to cycle through all the ones where, like, if all of you were in a room, who would kill the other guys? It's like, no, we're
people
not going to do
that
those.
Question.
If there, you know, if there's a zombie attack, who
you're gets on an
by
island.
The zombies first? If you're on an island, who slits whose throat? Like, we don't like doing those type of questions, guys. But there are some that I found interesting.
Especially because they all want to kill me first. It's, like, so unfair. This says a lot.
We want to kill you first, or the readers do?
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, the study that we talked about, that I talked about, the Stately study.
Yes. Going back to that estate blog.
It was
done
by a listener, apparently.
Really?
Ryan Nickum. Yeah.
Yeah, Nickum. Mm.
Also, call back to Greg's previous callback.
I love it.
It dawned on me that Roy Green, old Cardinals wide receiver, also played cornerback, and I believe had 7 or 8 receptions 1 year. Also, you could make the argument that Deion Sanders had a little success at wide receiver.
A little bit.
Little.
All right. Can we move on from that topic now?
No, we're going to come back in about 6 minutes to talk about Charles Woodson and Rod Woodson.
Deion had some nice moments at wideout. as a deep threat. All right, here we go. We'll start with Charles Montoya at Chuckman21. Forget common man ranking. What is the cynical man ranking? Interesting question. Ooh. Amongst the heroes, and we'll open up this to the satellite heroes. Of course, Patra and Connor, as well as Colleen will throw in. Lindsay will throw in. The Irishman behind the glass, but there is not a cynical bone in that man's body.
No.
So, who is the most cynical? Wes, you're on the floor is yours.
I think there's some sentiment that this might be Connor Orr. Mm-hmm. I think it's the boss, Greg Rosenthal, is the most cynical.
The most cynical.
I don't know. Sessler is pretty cynical.
Sessler's too. Just moody.
What about Patrick, by the way?
He's just angry.
I disagree with that, Wes. Connor was the first person that comes to mind. I think he is he's the most cynical. I would put Patrick next. You know, I love things that I love. I love them.
Area man loves things.
I love football. I love my job. I love books. I love my family.
Good for you.
I got a lot of love.
Just because you love your family doesn't mean you're not cynical. Here's the dictionary definition of cynical. Distrusting or disparaging the motives of others, like a characteristic of a cynic. Number two, this is an adjective, just in case anybody didn't know. Showing contempt for accepted standards of honesty or morality by one's actions, especially by actions that exploit the scruples of others. Three, bitterly or sneeringly distrustful.
I feel like that describes me pretty well.
Contemptuous and or pessimistic.
Right.
Or pessimistic is group, interesting. I would say, in general.
I have some homework for all of you cynics out there.
Oh.
Google Cherub, Scorn, and Robert Frost.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Everybody take note of that. You have an assignment when this podcast is done.
I think I'm sneaky optimistic.
I would put Wes and I at the bottom of the cynical rankings.
Dan is not cynical.
And I don't think Wes
not
is.
Really.
I've got some major issues, but cynicism isn't one of them.
Wolfie, you got a little bit of cynicism in you.
I'm pretty cynical.
Yeah. It's hard to say when you call someone cynical, like, is that a shot? That's not really.
No, I don't think so. Like, my mom is a super cynic.
It's kind of like locker room lawyer. Even though you just read the definition, I'm not sure I still fully understand what cynical means.
Okay, let's move on.
It's a great discussion.
Says the cynic.
I don't know about this.
Here we go. Richard Hunter at Not That Hunter. Are the criminally under-discussed Chargers the best sleeper pick to make the playoffs in the AFC? All right. Well, we call your bluff, Rich. We're talking Chargers. Greg.
Love this question because I'm with you, Richard Hunter. I think the answer is yes. I like this
Chargers.
What kind
of cynic is this guy?
I like this Chargers team. I was thinking, wow, for a 4-12 team, this is a good-looking roster. Not a lot of big holes. Got Phillip Rivers. I do think they could be a playoff team. They might be one of my
And that backfield, whew.
Okay, that's a little bit of a hole. Is that what
Spice Rack's folly.
Melvin Gordon?
Oh, no.
That was a cynic shot right there by Wolf.
Spice Wolf's Rack's
climbing
Spice
the cynic shape.
Spice
right.
Rack's boondoggle. I agree with the question.
Spice Rack would sell the Brooklyn Bridge for like three beans and some rice.
Wow, super specific.
Sorry, Spice.
They're not criminally underrated or whatever. They're on double secret.
They're criminally under talked about.
Yeah, they're on double secret probation because you guys forced me into making them the team of ATL a couple of years ago.
You're still holding.
Yes.
They were
boring.
Let it go,
bro.
But I do agree that they're the most likely AFC sleeper to make the playoffs.
Ooh.
Next up, this one from Tom Perry Jones. At Tom Perry Jones. What are the odds of you guys coming to London in 2016? We'll throw that one to the boss.
I don't know yet. We have been working at it. We've come up with some plans with a proposal that's in the process. We haven't had a lot of progress lately, but
we've actually done homework.
We've done some work.
We are trying to make it happen. It comes down to whether the shadowy league figures deem it a necessity or worth their investment to send all of us there. That's what we're trying to convince them of. Are you going, Colleen?
I would love to go. I think what we should do is stand outside the shadowy league figure's office, sort of like the guy in New England who's standing outside Gillette Stadium waiting for a tryout.
Yeah, that'll work out with Bill Belichick.
I think we should just stand and wait it out until they say yes and just like a holdout of sorts.
What do you think the shadowy league office looks like? It's like the light is really dim.
Everybody so has like figures. Top hats on. As
well. You don't. You never see any of their faces.
Snidely whip yeah. Well,
here's the thing: if any Shadowy League figures listen to this show, this is a good time to tune in. You can send people to go talk, you know, on camera. Maybe they're going to write one thing during the week. Probably not. Or you can send people that are going to write 15 to 20 things, do some reporting, and can still do
Do a podcast.
And do the podcast where we put 150 whatever it is listeners into a bar. And we can still do the same talking on the camera. You don't even have to send the camera people.
Greg, that's a lot of original content.
600 listeners in a bar.
Listen,
wow. What about Mexico?
Mexico?
Oh, I would love that.
Maybe. That would be fun, too. All right. Let's move on. Zach Silver at Legume_Dupree. Okay, bro. Instead of – this one was also sent to Colleen, so I'll ask you first, Colleen. Instead of building the, quote, perfect QB, as we did on Wednesday's podcast, could you build the perfect RB running back? I would think – I will go through a list of things. The perfect running back, Colleen – for speed. Speed alone.
For speed. God. I feel like I just want to put like Le'Veon Bell for everything.
Wow.
But oh God.
Who's the fastest running back in the league right now? Well, Wes, you do those next gen stats.
Oh, that's true.
David Johnson recorded the fastest running back speed with the ball in his hands in week one.
Let me guess, 21 miles per hour.
22.
No way.
And held that spot all year long.
Okay, so really? David Johnson, that's solid. All right, cutting.
Shady's not a bad guy just for speed.
Well,
Gurley
is next one.
Shady more for cutting.
Elusiveness?
Wait, this next one, cutting ability.
Oh, that's McCoy.
Probably Shady, unless Wes, I know you think he might be on the other side now.
I wouldn't have a person of his character on my football team. But
oh.
Or Amir Abdullah, if we're going like by the trope alert. For cutting
fair.
Ability.
How about field vision? You gotta have that when you're making your way through the line.
I feel like that's Le'Veon.
I think I don't know. An upset there is Todd Gurley. I think Gurley, that is the thing I think that separates him as he came to – well, the fact that he can do everything. But that's something that you can't teach that he has.
Le'Veon is so patient.
All right. How about power?
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a home run. You ever shake that guy's hand? Marron.
Really?
He'll crush it. Yeah.
Huh.
Shook his hand at NFL honors and like
sure to not do that then.
No, I'm not even joking around. Like I've, you know, probably shook the hands of thousands of people now in my life.
Humble brag.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa.
And
all right.
Whoa.
Mr. Gladhander.
Yeah. I've met many humans. And let me tell you, Adrian Peterson has by far the strongest grip, which is funny because he's had ball security problems in his career, especially in big games. But all right. And lastly, so yes, but he's the most powerful back. Receiving ability. That's got to be Le'Veon, right?
Yeah. Or Forte.
Ooh, I like that.
Forte is up there.
But probably
coming to the end of his career,
Gore
was up there. But
I'll take the best. I'll take the best by far receiver among running backs last year, Deion Lewis.
Oh,
okay. That's true.
Not just his ability to catch the ball, but smoking linebackers off the line of scrimmage with ease.
And this one, you know,
or Doug Martin.
I don't know how this became a category.
It's like leadership or something.
Intangibles.
Oh, I don't even know what that means. So nobody.
Danny Woodhead.
That would be pluck. You know, intangibles.
I thought we were going with Woodhead.
Yeah, we're deciding on intangibles are not a thing people should make.
I feel like Forte would be a good intangibles guy. D'Angelo Williams.
Dan, why don't you give it to Lamar Miller?
Well, yeah. Lamar Miller is the perfect
category. The perfect machine. All right, have we got anything else? No, I think that's about it. Let's see if anyone asked something in the last second.
Frank Gore would be a good intangibles guy.
Yeah.
Greg's boy.
Absolutely.
He's in the Greg Rosenthal Hall of Fame.
He's in your stable.
He is maybe the number one spot in the stable.
What do players get when they go to the stable or the Hall of Fame?
Well, Wes is really the one who holds a real stable together. What are your policies?
Maybe we'll revisit it.
I don't have any policies. It's easy to get kicked out, though. Just ask Odell Beckham.
All right, and last question. This also from Tom Perry Jones. Good job, Tommy. What is the music that plays over our outro at the end of each show? Well, it's this.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Well, look at that.
The outro. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Connie Fox, the mailman, the boss, and Irish behind the glass. See you next Tuesday.
Okay, new mono ultramicroscopic silicova canoniosis. PNEUMONOULTRATMICROSCOPICOPICSILICOVACANONIOSIS. New mono ultramicroscopic silicova canoniosis.